Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. It's Blood Harris here, another Panther Rants podcast. It's, I believe it's Wednesday. I don't know. I'm losing track of the days. It's hump day. Halfway to the weekend. And, you know, hopefully another day sooner to another Super Bowl. Lots of fun. Because for me, I'll be at the bar watching the game, enjoying the free buffet, and drinking overpriced beer. So that'll be pretty much sums up my activities for Sunday. Starting off, Pitt obviously, as I recording this, has a game in about a half hour against Miami. Miami will pretty much destroy Pitt. And if you saw the probability charts, Miami's without one of their best players, and of course, I think they're like they have a 97% chance of being Pitt, according to the probability. So, obviously, the outlook isn't too good for Pitt. Although they've had their last two losses were close, I guess you can say, by lofty standards. They've supposedly caught teams on bad shooting nights, magically two games in a row. Not sure that happens, but I guess it just does. You play a lottery and you win two times in a row. And the thing about it is people wanted Heather Like, the AD, to comment on this, and she did release a statement. She said that pretty much, to recap, it's not really good to make any assessment right now, given the season's not over yet. And they will evaluate after the season's over. Fair statement. Because you obviously can't fire the guy mid-season. But personally, with his buyout, you got to negotiate that. And really, to be honest with you, if I'm the AD, this is going to cost a lot of money to do. Because for one thing, you have to buy him out, and there's a $10 million buyout. Then you got to hire somebody. Who are you going to hire? Because it's going to have to be a really good hire in this case because of what you're doing. And hope his players stay there as well. You gotta hope that whoever he recruited stays there as well. Otherwise, you're back to rebuilding all over again. So that's just unfortunately where we're at this point. I don't, you know. Personally, I think they should keep him another year. See what happens. Because it can't be that bad. I mean, right now it's bad. Right now, it's horrible. It could get a little better this year, but it's still bad. But who knows? Like I've tweeted before, our luck. They'll win two conference games to close out the regular season. Then they'll just troll their way into the conference title game, which is what they all usually do. I mean, that's what Pitt does. They just find ways to troll the conference, whether it's being a top-ranked opponent in football, which has happened twice in a row now. Miami was a top ranked. They were number two ranked. Obviously, Clemson was number one. Clemson recovered and won the national title. Miami obviously was exposed that day, and they just never recovered. And they pretty much lost the rest of their allotted games. They lost the conference title game. They got destroyed. And they lost to Paul Christ in Wisconsin. This season obviously wasn't going to be that good of a season for Pitt. It doesn't matter who the coach was. And in Stallings' case, he's got to work what he has. He doesn't have, I mean, the players he has right now are, they got a lot of potential. You see in a year or two that they're going to be, a lot of these guys are going to be really good, which is not good enough for a lot of fans. Because things were swimmingly under the previous staff. Well, the thing about the previous staff was they didn't land a lot of guys that were totally NCAA ready yet. A lot of them did play early in their careers. They contributed, but they weren't obviously there where they needed to be. It always took guys 2 to 3 years to develop into anything in Jamie Dixon's system. I mean, that was always the downfall, because he would recruit pretty much high-end 3-star, low-end 4-star players. He led in some of Donald's All-Americans, at least two. Dante Taylor didn't pan out. Didn't pan out due to back issues. And Ken Burns just flamed out and left. He was pretty much in Pitt for a few weeks and just decided to, oh, he had enough. But the finished product always turned out well. I mean, because look at, Gil Brown, for instance, finished product, really good finished product. Sam Young, the guy was so raw athletically, so much to do with him, and turned out to be a really good player in his last 2 years. They've really gotten guys who could come in and just take the world by storm. Because here's the thing, people make the argument, well, Duke, starts with new freshmen and, they always do fine. Well, it's because it's Duke. They can get those guys. Pitt can't get those guys. And it's rare that they have. I mean, one guy in particular they got that just came in and took the world by storm was DeJuan Blair. He just came in and kicked a lot of ass. I mean, he came in and he tore it up. And, of course, there was Chris Taft as well. I mean, Chris Taft came in and took the world by storm as well, but he, you can make the argument that Taft was, a Howland recruit and Jamie just kept him. But when you change coaching staffs, you got to recruit the guys over again. And, of course, obviously, Jamie won a lot of those guys over. Now, that was the one big thing when Jamie was hired, was to keep in that recruiting class together. Because on paper, that was a really, really good class. Although, the only two players that really panned out were Aaron Gray and Chris Taft. I believe Walter Walters never made it on campus, I don't think. Dante Milligan, I think, he ended up transferring out. I can't believe I remember these guys' names. But he did have also a class, sorry, a recruit. He had Ramon and Benji. Ramon and Benji had those two guys. Benji took a while to develop. Ramon saw playing time, actually, throughout most of his career. He became a really good shooter his last year, and they even played some point guard. Benji, it took him till like maybe this, the last year or two from the development in anything. I mean, he had a lot of talent. And of course, there was John DeGroat, who was a JUCO, but I think he ended up having a really good career overseas. He did really well. He panned out there. So, we had a one and done in Steve Adams. But, I mean, a lot of players in Jamie's system, it took time to develop. And, of course, when he lost the entire recruiting class, that was Kem Burch, those two Philly players to name, and Steve Adams leaving Pro Era. He lost the whole class. He tried to plug in bodies when he could. It just didn't happen. And in the end, he kept the ship together enough where he could say all was working well when he left for TCU. I mean, his whole body of work at Pitt was amazing. It's just the last 5 years, it was trending down. Obviously, the Big East. Having to recruit in the ACC was different for him. And one thing that didn't help was they went to Nike as well. You know, with Adidas, they had a lot more recognition. And Nike, they were just another face in the crowd, pretty much. But people are just going to be patient with this, and obviously, you know, Stallings himself has to be a little nice to everybody, have a little chippy attitude, not chippy, but I mean like a happy. Go lucky type of thing. He's obviously too. He's kind of more of like an Eeyore, you know, from Winnie the Pooh. He's got that going for him. So, okay, let's move on because I'm babbling on for 11 minutes by Kevin Stallings about this whole thing. Basically, I say give him another year. Because next season is going to be just as bad. So let's see what these guys do next year. All right, so Pennarduzzi went on, I guess, some sort of banquet, I believe. Talked about the Michigan State thing, about how he has daughters, and you know this affects him, and sure affects everybody. It was good that he at least spoke on it. Then of course you're gonna have certain people pressing for details from him. I mean, look what happened to Tom Izzo the other day when the Outside Lines reporters came after him. But then Jemele Hill had the audacity to print an article about how, I guess, how she tried to get answers from Izzo and he couldn't, you know, from being friends, he wouldn't give her anything. Well, gee, you wonder why. Well, for one thing, she's now a reporter looking for a story. I'm sure he's probably been told not to say anything to anybody. So the answer she got from him, actually, she should be happy that she got that type of answer. I mean, obviously, he sees her as a friend to even respond to her. Because, you know, if it was any other person, if he would have got that, you know, a call or text from her, it would have got ignored. The person in the other probably deletes it, puts it in ignore. Or says, hey, talk to the PR person. I am not saying a word. Obviously, it's a big mess. And yeah, there's some Penn State blowhards in the media that are talking about this. And, you know, trying to compare, you know, if Pat Narduzzi knew anything to what Joe knew. Well, here's the big difference. The Penn State people, even Paterno's family, have been saying the truth is going to come out eventually. Well, Joe's been fired and dead for about 7 years. So, I'm not sure. I think the truth isn't going to come out anytime soon. And anytime the digging was done for the quote-unquote truth, it's gone worse. Especially with the whole settlement thing where they had to release all those victim statements. Where the one victim said that they went to Paterno about, you know, Jerry abusing him, and Jerry setting up, and Joe pretty much said, buzz off, kid. Yeah, I mean, it got a lot worse. And not to mention, other people on the staff got dragged into it. On Joe's staff got dragged into it. Which, you know, for instance, Greg Schiano, he got dragged into it. Bradley's name got dragged into it more. And that's the thing about the Free Report, people review it. The Free Report only covers from 1998 till, you know, to the end of Jerry's reign. It doesn't cover what happened pre-1998. That's because Jerry was doing this stuff for a long time. He didn't wake up one day and decide he was going to go molest kids. He was probably abused as a kid himself. So he was probably doing this for quite some time. This is what people don't seem to get. And supposedly, legend has it, the Free was investigating Sandusky in the 70s. Because Free was in the FBI at that time. Because there was a whole bunch of child porn going around. It was a child porn ring. Jerry was involved in it, obviously, and he was doing some other stuff with another prominent person in Pennsylvania that was also molesting kids and supposedly swapping victims with Jerry. Eddie Savitz, I believe his name was. So you had that. But of course, Free was pulled off the investigation to go after John Gotti. And so when you see the Free Report, you don't see the earlier years because he was involved in that. And obviously, if he would divulge that, they would have questioned why he didn't as a part of the FBI, why he didn't act then, because he would have thrown it in the spotlight. So again, there's really no comparing these two situations. And with the Michigan State stuff, you're just gonna wait for more of it to come out because some of it's being refuted because it's already been reported. Supposedly, D'Antoni and Izzo already reported the stuff that was happening, and not to mention the outside lines reporter who went after Izzo over to one of his players on the staff that left. That player on the staff is refuting everything as well. So it's that he didn't leave because he sexually assaulted somebody. He left because he graduated or whatever it was. So, yeah, let the facts play on this one. And we get to the Super Bowl. Right now, as I see it, if this game was played on this past Sunday, I'd probably go with the Eagles to win. But you're giving the New England Patriots 2 weeks to perform for Peterson and then Eagles offense and defense. I, right now, as of Sunday, probably like the Patriots. And I also think they'll cover. It'll be a backdoor cover as well. They'll score late and they'll cover the spread of the 4 points, of 3.5 to 4 points as well. And, you know, one thing that Alex Marvez touched on when he was on with Clay Travis is he said what do you think he observed about teams that play New England as they get these leads at halftime, and then New England adjusts, and that's that, and teams get gassed out. Like, for instance, the Falcons were up 20-3 at halftime. Or maybe it was 20-3. At one point, they're up 20-3. Second half, they just got gassed. And same with Jacksonville as well. Jacksonville couldn't do anymore. So, I have a feeling New England's going to carve them up. Gronkowski's going to be back, but I'm not sure how effective it's going to be after hit he took. I mean, the hit itself, I mean, I didn't, obviously by rule book, it's a penalty, but to me, it didn't look like a penalty. I don't think it was malicious. It's just in real time, when you're running at 100 miles an hour, the defender sees Gronk with a ball in his hands, and he doesn't know that Gronk doesn't have, you know, has dropped it. He knows it's in his hands. And what does the defender do? He lays a hit and jars the ball loose. But the ball is very loose when he hit him. But he doesn't know that. So, it really wasn't a malicious type of thing, but whatever. It's just, you're going to have secondary players second-guessing themselves now because of all this. And that's why you have so many inflated passing numbers now, because the secondary really can't do anything. And, you know, they get penalized no matter how, you know, no matter what happens. So, I mean, that's one reason you see these pass games inflated, because the secondary is handcuffed, though. They can't do much. They can't, I mean, they can, but they can't do as much as they used to. So, I'm not sure how effective Gronk's going to be, but obviously Bray's got his receivers. And the only thing I can see possibly happening is if Bray gets hurt. That's the only way I can see New England losing this game is if Bray gets hurt. And who knows? Maybe the Eagles do that. You know, I'm not saying intently injure him, but maybe somebody gets a helmet on him by quote unquote accident. But yeah, right now I like New England to win. I think they'll do a backdoor cover as well. It'll probably be a late dickhead touchdown. Which is always the case. But next podcast, Pitt did make a hire on our coaching staff, which I'll probably touch on the next week's podcast as well. But for now, we're on 22 minutes. It's crazy. I had 25 minutes earlier today recording this, and on the app, I didn't have the freaking microphone turned on. So I sat there and babbled on my phone for 25 minutes and nothing got recorded. I was so enraged. But what's cool about this is here I got more of my points nailed down. And I'm a little more refreshed. But anyways, I'll let you have the rest of your week. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Drive safe. Have fun. Win lots of money if you're in the block pools. I won't be in any, but whatever. Have fun, guys. Hail to Pitt!